Bring it. I'm ready to go.
I've got some return intro music.
Daft Punk, here it comes.
I've queued up... No, close. I've queued up several songs for this episode, Dan. You ready?
All French stuff, dude. I give you Ryan Paris, Dolce Vita. That's what you should play.
Ooh, you should get one ready, because I got...
I'll get one ready.
All right. Fire it up.
This is a guy named Ryan Paris. This is in 1983. Dolce Vita is the name of the track. It is kind of a goofy song, of course, but killer synthesizer beat and equally hilarious video you gotta watch on your own time, but listen to this fucking shit. Probably it is.
Is this guy named Ryan Paris, or is he actually from Paris, or it's just his name?
He's actually from Italy, but in the video, he's just, like, in Paris, dancing around, like, the Eiffel Tower, like, kind of like this. Like, you and Grace need to watch this, and you will laugh your balls off. And the more times you watch it, the funnier it gets. And if I ever do get married, I want to do a scene in this video where these two girls come out roller skates, and he kind of grabs them both and spins around in a circle. Fucking hilarious. Like in Paris.
I like it. You're going to have to turn it off, though, because it's screwing up the audio. You got to get the show started proper, Dan. Good?
Good. All right.
Here we go. Yeah. The real start now. I'm back, Danny. All right. Let me turn that down. It's tough playing songs on the alpha. All right. All right, turn that off. It's really hard to navigate songs and an intro at the same time. This is going to go down as our worst intro in history. But I'm back, Dan. I've missed 2 weekends of college football, 1 week of the podcast, 8 days in Paris. I'm back in the USA now. I have no idea what's happened in the country or in college football. So why don't you catch me up, Dan? What have I missed?
Most important thing that happened is that Mr. Laker / URI sensation Lamar Odom nearly overdosed or had some sort of issue in a place outside of Las Vegas. And it looked like he was going to pass away, but he's actually improving. Hats off to him. Wish him the best. But the best part of the story is that his ex, Miss Kourtney Kardashian, showed up. And now they're going to give their marriage a second chance, which is the first time in the history of the world going to a whorehouse and overdosing brings your marriage back together. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Ever.
Oh, and here I was. I thought Paris was the city of romance, but I've missed the true romance of the Las Vegas whorehouse.
That's the best news of the week. That's all you really need to know.
That's incredible. I heard a little bit about Lamar Odom, but definitely not that part.
I pretty much summed it up. You don't need to know anything else, but he's improving. He's going to be cool. They're going to be back together. Everyone wins. Like, this is so good. Like, it's so Hollywood. Absolutely love it. Bravo. Wish him all the best.
Good. Congrats, Lamar. Or congrats is probably not the appropriate phrase, but I'm glad you're doing better. What else, Dan? What did I miss?
What else? Oh, there was some like presidential nonsense. I didn't pay any attention to it. This isn't an election year, right?
No, the election's not until a year from now.
5 days.
There's a big election here in Hartford to elect the new Hartford mayor. That's a real important one. No, it's actually not. Hartford, you know, they vote the same way all the time. So it's just, it's a formality. Also, I don't live in Hartford.
No one lives in Hartford. I don't think anyone lives in Hartford. Population 2,500.
But this new mayor, who's probably, you know, almost definitely going to win in Hartford, he is a 36-year-old white guy, which is 2 years older than me. And the white is important because Hartford is, you know, very predominantly minority. So white guys have a tough time winning there. He has also sang country songs in a band, not a famous band, but I guess he recorded his own CD. What I'm saying is this guy is not that different than me. Like, I recorded my own CD in college, not of country, but of rock. I'm a 34-year-old white guy from the suburbs. I think I could win when this guy moves on. I think I could be the next mayor of Hartford, Dan. What do you think?
I'm all for it.
I think it's a demotion, technically, from what I do now.
I'm sure there's some like pretty good perks, like if you're hungry at lunch and you go to like a really good place that like makes like a good like Reuben, you probably don't have to like wait in line because you're the mayor. It's kind of like living an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, you're the mayor and just kind of walk around town and get in weird situations. Like, I can see you like, I'm going to go over here to Macy's today and look at pants. And then is it just a mess because you're the mayor? You know, like something like that.
If I were the mayor, I would treat it the way Mark Cuban's treated his job for the last 10 years. Like, I'd just go work at a Dairy Queen for a day, and then I'd show up at a big tech conference. Then I'd go talk about improving the north end of Hartford and its poverty. And then I would go play in a pickup basketball game with the U-Heart women.
Yep.
Like I would take full advantage.
Shout out to the U-Heart women. First ever on the podcast. Took us to season 3.
Yeah.
Slip that in, Tom. And I mean, slip it in.
All right. What else did I miss, Dan?
Nothing. College football recap last week, real quick. A&M only scored 3 points. We got a problem. Alabama should have lost to Tennessee or could have lost. I guess it's a coin flip, but no one's going to remember that. You know, it's all about just winning. It was a trap game for them between A&M and LSU, which obviously we'll talk about. Most important news, Baylor. Seth Russell broken something in his neck, has to have surgery. Season over. For him, probably also for Baylor. I know we haven't seen what this freshman kid can do. He's a 5-star recruit out of Texas. I'm guessing they're probably going to lose 1 or 2 games in the regular season, but still end up in a nice bowl game and see what goes forward. You know, but you almost have to think long-term with this. And I was talking to Z before taping a little bit about this, about how I view this kid coming in for Seth Russell as – Oregon was with Marcus Mariota. If they don't win a national title with this kid while he's playing college football for them, then they're not going to win. But unlike Oregon, I don't think they should take the program and scrap it because of where they were 10 years ago compared to Oregon. Oregon has been good for 40, 50 years while, you know, our Bryles-led squad almost had no football team 10 years ago. So it's going to be, you know, a pain in the ass to see him have some issues this year, and they're probably, you know, not going to win the national title, which I thought they had a real shot of before. But long term, he's going to be great next year with a lot of people coming back, and the next year, look for 2 years from now to be the signature moment for Baylor. So 2017 Baylor, you got to kind of think long term. That's the season to win a national title. So there you go.
It's unfortunate because they're loaded with talent in the other positions this year. Their receivers are great. I think their receivers will remain great for several years. The defense has been improving, good for Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq Linwood still there, a great running back. I would assume they'll get other great running backs, but you never know. They had it all. I mean, I thought they were the best team before I left a couple weeks ago, and right now it's tough. I've looked at a few shows, a few polls before we did this. I've done very little research, but I did see pretty much a consensus on everyone's top 4 teams right now, Dan. I saw LSU, Clemson, Baylor, Ohio State in some order. Do you agree with that?
Well, obviously, I think you put Ohio State up there. I think you put Clemson up there. Right now, because of what they've done before, you're right. Baylor, I think you got to put it 3. And probably LSU, you know, at 4. But they have a, you know, they're playing Alabama. So I think the winner of the LSU-Alabama game is going to be in that slot, which we'll talk about later. TCU is going to play Baylor. I think that'll sort itself out. I think Ohio State's going to run the table, so that'd be 3. Clemson's the wild card. You know, they don't really play that hard of a schedule. I kind of would like to see an Ohio State, Clemson, you know, TCU, and then like an Alabama Final Four or LSU or maybe a wild card, maybe Oklahoma State. You know, it's wide open.
I certainly think the Big 12 has a lot to sort out, and they'll all play each other in the next month, so that'll get sorted out. The top SEC team, especially if they have one loss or less, is almost definitely in, so you have to put LSU in. Ohio State, Michigan State, I think that sorts itself out. And then you're right, Clemson. Clemson, when I left, keep in mind I've missed 2 weeks of football. They were good, but they weren't top four good. Seems like they've improved drastically, and we'll get to this later, but they absolutely destroyed Miami. And I'm interested in your take. Again, we'll do this later on, but I don't know if that was Clemson being great, Miami being horrible, or a little of both. But we have plenty to talk about with the Miami Hurricanes, so we'll save that for later. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss before we go into the lines?
Well, I'm not sure if you want to do this now, but we have to say goodbye to somebody.
Oh, we'll save that for a little bit later in the show.
Fantastic.
We got a Thursday night game, Dan. West Virginia at TCU. Pretty big one. 14-point line. Now, I've copied these lines down, but this is the first I'm seeing anything. So I'm going to throw it up to you for most of the hot takes this week. And if I feel like I can add anything, then I will. And if not, I will just sit back and crack inappropriate jokes. So that, 2-touchdown line, TCU.
I absolutely love TCU, except a small reason why not. TCU should cover this line. They are going to compare themselves to other teams West Virginia has played. West Virginia kept it close against Oklahoma State, but not against Art and Baylor. So I think TCU is going to try to match what they did against West Virginia. However, West Virginia is good for one upset a year. They haven't pulled it off yet, but this is a good shot for it. And also, Holgorsen's name's been linked to Miami, so he has a little bit of extra motivation. It's a little tricky, but I'd still take TCU. They're a really superior team. They'll be able to put, you know, 48 points plus easily on the board. So you basically say West Virginia scores 31. I think you're going to cover that game.
Well, Dan, I tried to wait, but it seems now that we're talking about West Virginia and these other teams, maybe there's just no waiting. We might as well get into Miami right now. You have a some words to say about Mr. Al Golden. I've got some backing music for you. Give me 1 second. Mm-hmm. There we go. All right, take it away, Dan.
Al Golden. What a great run it's been for you. You've coached and played at some of my least favorite teams of all time. And now you're on the field, which makes me happy. Let me give you a quick rundown here for my man, Mr. Golden, for New Jersey. Okay, we'll just start there. Check. 2, played for Penn State. Okay, that's no good for me. Check. 3, went to the NFL, New England Patriots. Even worse. Okay, horrible. He does a little coaching, Virginia, you know, but then whatever. Oh, then he goes to Boston College because he's an asshole. You know, they're the worst school. Then we go back to Penn State, Virginia, Temple, and then to Miami. Now, let's just focus on the Miami years. Going into the 2015 season, Al Golden convinced his AD, just give me one more year. This is a true story. I'm not making this up for the podcast. He said, just give me one more year. This is the year we're going to turn it around. Broke down all the reasons why. How can you be that far off? And he was the most un-Miami coach since Larry Coker, but Larry Coker won a national title. Moral of the story, Al Golden, take your oversized neckties, pack that shit up, put your home up for sale. Come back up north. Let's see. Where should he land? Oh, I can feel it. Rutgers, defensive coordinator. Can you feel that in the air for him next year? Something like that. Some bullshit like that. Adios, Al Gordon. Miami, hire someone fun for the love of fucking God. I don't care if your defense gives up 45 points. You got to score 50. It's 2015. Wake up. You're in one of the sickest counties in world. for football talent, you know? So get someone fun. The U will improve. It can't get worse than this. I'm excited for it. Go Canes.
Oh, damn.
Oh, thanks.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Rest in peace, Al Golden. You'll be missed. Thoughts and prayers to the Golden family. Okay. He was almost the coach of Penn State, Dan, after their horrible scandal, controversy, whatever you want to call it, in 4 years ago. Instead, they hired Bill O'Brien. That decision to get Bill O'Brien and not Al Golden is pretty much the only reason Penn State has a program remaining.
Yeah.
So, man, congratulations. I mean, look what Penn State's done with, an NFL-quality coach, and now James Franklin, who's considered a great recruit. They've still gone 500. If they had Al Golden, they would be playing UCF, both 0-8. So, Miami coaches, Dan, who are being talked about, it's a comedy goldmine. As you mentioned, Mr. Dana Holgorsen, your favorite, Mr. Rich Rod. Your other favorite, Mr. Lane Kiffin. New front runner, Greg Schiano.
It just keeps getting better.
Guy who is interested in the job, Miami not so interested in him, Mr. Butch Davis.
Butch Davis?
Butch Davis has expressed interest. Miami has not expressed interest back.
Ed Reed wants to interview. I read that today.
Ed Reed?
Mr. Ed Reed. Can we just give it to Ed Reed one fucking time? They'll give up no points. Fucking none. If someone gives up points, he will, I swear to God, make him mow his fucking lawn every single day. He'll, like, physically hurt the defense if they give up points. They'll be the best defense of all time. They're like, oh, here's my coordinator, Ray Lewis. He's running the defense. I'm serious. They should get Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, and I will go get plane tickets, and you're coming with. And George is showing up, and we're all going. It's going to be the best thing you've ever seen in your whole life.
Would there be any better way to bring back the early 80s or early 90s, late 80s killer Miami teams than to get Ray Lewis and Ed Reed involved?
Who's going to win in a recruiting battle between Jimbo Fisher or Ed Reed and Ray Lewis walking into your living room? This is what you do. You go, we're willing to spend like $10 million on a head coach to really turn this around. Well, guess what? Or not 10, it's Miami. It'll be like
well,
six.
I think you could get Ray Lewis and Ed Reed for like 1.5 combined.
I think you can get them each like 2 or 3 million and it doesn't matter. But the point is like, get those two guys to be head coach. It makes sense. The point, I'm kind of exaggerating, but seriously, they need to hire a fun coach who can recruit. It's really that simple. Clemson should be a little bit worried. I would interview if I was him. But it's in the same conference. That's a little hard.
Really? Clemson seems like a much better job right now than Miami. You sure they shouldn't go with some of these other names, Dan, that have been tossed around? For example,
no.
Tommy Tuberville?
I'm trying. You say that name again, and there's going to be an evil, Halloween spirit's going to pop up and snatch you.
Charlie Strong, name tossed around. James Franklin tossed around today. Charlie Strong and James Franklin both said no. Here are their serious candidates that they're interested in and that may actually have a shot of going there. You tell me what you think. We got Justin Fuente of Memphis, who's an awesome coach. Many are saying that Justin Fuente should not take this job. He's overqualified. The coach of Memphis, overqualified for Miami. We got Tom Herman, who I'm going to say is definitely overqualified at this point. We got Mark Stoops of Kentucky.
Nope.
We've got Rob Chudzinski of the Colts.
Nope.
And then we've got my favorite, Alabama offensive line coach, Mario Cristobal.
Nope.
No?
This is the U. They're going to come back and try to win national titles.
It's not an attractive job right now, Dan. The facilities are no good. The stadium's 45 minutes from campus. It's embarrassing how empty the games are on game day. Embarrassing. I mean, it's worse than UConn.
Well, okay, that's saying something. I know it's bad. Well, I guess
why would you take this program over? There's nothing in it for you, especially when you're a good coach. You got jobs like USC, other jobs. Even something like Maryland is looking as good as Miami at this point.
Wow, that's a little bit of an overstatement, I think, just because of recruiting proximity to campus. But I know what you're saying.
Well, Maryland's got Under Armour, so they've got a lot of money being put into the facility over the last couple of years. And don't get me wrong, Maryland football is a dumpster fire. It's garbage. But they have potential to improve. Miami right now, unless they make some drastic changes, they're headed in the wrong direction. I'm not ruling out the fact that they could turn it around, but they got a tough road ahead of them.
Yeah, I don't know. They got to find someone who can recruit. Simple as that.
If I were Justin Fuente, I would hold out for better.
Maybe. It's close.
So who do you think, besides, let's say Ed Reed and Ray Lewis aren't available as a combo coach?
Rick Neuheisel, is he available? No.
Sark?
No. He's unhirable at this point.
You don't think Miami would be a good place for him to go and get himself together?
No, I don't. I think it'd be bad. Probably I'd go after, like, Memphis's coach. I mean, they're playing great. Something like that. I guess you have to go that route if you can't land a high-profile name.
My prediction is they'll be lucky to get Fuente of Memphis, and they're not going to do much better than that. Maybe Stoops of Kentucky or something like that, but I don't see him pulling down a Dabo or a Charlie Strong or that kind of level guy.
I agree.
Maybe Kendall Briles? I toss it out every time. Kendall Briles.
Perfect hire.
All right, Dan. Let's see. Oh, Miami's got a game against Duke, but who cares?
Back to the Lions.
Another struggling program. The Oregon Ducks visit your Arizona State Sun Devils. And Arizona State favored by 2.5, over under 66. You going to be attending this game on Thursday?
No, I will not be attending. I'm really glad I didn't purchase tickets before the season started.
Yeah, like, you tried to convince me to come out for this one.
Who would have thought they would have a combined 6 losses? So I'm going to take Arizona State because 2 years ago, Oregon really ran it up on them, like 52-7 on a national TV Thursday game just like this. I like Arizona State to pull it out. There's a bunch of players on that team who were playing in that game or redshirted. They saw that. They got embarrassed. If they have a chance to see a wounded Oregon, I really like their chances. So I'm going to lay the 2.5 for sure.
I don't like to brag, Dan, but at the beginning of the season in our first episode, I did say that the Pac-12 championship would come down to this game. So I still think it's got a chance. No, that was not a good prediction. And I apologize to America. I ask that you respect my family during this tough time. And let's move on. East Carolina at UConn.
Game of the week.
How's UConn been doing? I have no idea.
I don't know. They're 3-5. I don't know. Their wins could be against, like, Marcellus and SUNY. Give me your favorite SUNY school.
SUNY Oswego?
Swigo. There you go. Okay, it could be those two. But no, seriously, no clue. East Carolina traditionally scores a lot of points. UConn traditionally scores no points. This game's at Hartford, which is a traditionally suspect area. Therefore, I'm going to go with East Carolina. They know how to handle suspect areas, and they will dismantle UConn by 14 points.
I'm going to make a pick in this game, Dan, even though I don't know what these teams have been up to.
All right.
53 is the over-under. It's frigidly cold in Connecticut this week. I left. It was in the 60s. I came back. It was in the 30s.
Oh.
Classic Northeast in the fall. So I'm going to say take the under. And in some cold weather, we're going to get a lot of running, a lot of bad plays. And UConn's going to contribute about 13 points to this game, meaning East Carolina's got to score 41. I don't think it's going to happen with UConn's tough and improved defense. I think you're looking at like a 27-13 game. Okay. Under.
See with the underplay. I'm going to stay away from the whole thing and pretend like it's not going on.
Oh, I didn't say to watch.
Oh, okay. Smart.
All right. Saturday games, noon Eastern time. Ole Miss at Auburn. Two teams that have disappointed us this season.
Ole Miss, not as much. I mean, you know, they were unranked to start the year. Now they're ranked. I mean, they only have two losses. There was some quality wins.
They built their way up to number three. They got my hopes up, and then they tore me apart.
I never thought they were a national title team, but I think this is a very good team that could, you know, challenge Ohio State or Michigan State for a, you know, Big Ten championship. Auburn's a wreck. They haven't played well with anyone, but they've seemed to keep a lot of games close. But they are 1-3 in the SEC. It sucks. I'm going to completely stay away from this. I cannot pick this game. I'm sorry.
All right, keeping it in the SEC, you've got South Carolina at Texas A&M. Texas A&M, another team I leave for a couple weeks, and they just go on a slide, losing two in a row. Now I saw just before we started this, QB competition is now open after Kyle Allen is struggling.
Well, they should get healthy this week against a pretty shitty South Carolina team. This is a classic spot where you see a team with more talent struggle and they play a lesser opponent. You think the lesser opponent has a chance for the outright upset. They have a chance to get blown out as well. A&M wants to get healthy. They've been a good team in the past. Lay the 16.5. I like them to win by 20+.
Dan, what's the ball coach been up to in the last 2 weeks? Has he been heard from?
A little, yeah. A quick story. He was somewhere and, like, I think ESPN or CBS wanted to interview him. And he was like, okay, but hurry up. And he, like, answered a bunch of questions in 3 minutes and ran off because he was going to play golf. He had a tee time. So, ball coach been playing a little golf, been having a little bourbon, watching a little ball, enjoying time with family. And, you know, just thinking about all those SAC years and watching Vern Lundquist and hanging out with Timmy Brando at the Chateau. I mean, just great stuff.
I'm going to make another prediction. The ball coach is not leaving our lives anytime soon. I don't know in what capacity, but he's going to be around for a few more years.
I hope he is. He's funny as hell.
We're not done with the ball coach. We haven't seen the last of him.
Love the ball coach.
The Q, Stan, our hometown team, they travel to an angry, now one-loss Florida State team. Is it time for some revenge?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Cuse is in the house, y'all.
I ran through the streets of Orchard Village screaming that after their big win against Mississippi State in 96, Stan. Just to have you know.
I was there. Florida State should bounce back, but this is kind of a weird spot. I can see them playing sloppy and winning by 13, so I would kind of stay away from this one. This isn't a stone-cold lock like Syracuse playing Clemson a couple of years ago with, like, Martavis Bryant, Sammy Watkins, and Andre Ellington. Like, come on. You know, this is a different Florida State team. Even though they do have Cook, he should, you know, run wild, but it could cover. I'm going to pass.
Is Florida State any good?
No.
Are they going to make the New Year's Six at all, you think, or they'll be zero in the Outback Bowl?
No, they'll probably, like, I mean, they have a chance to, like, run the table. No, because they're going to lose to Florida last game of the year. They're going to be, like, in some random, like, January 1st bowl.
The Meineke Car Care, or the, ironically, the Gator Bowl?
Something that's, you know, half decent. I mean, they'll be like, Florida State, yeah, whatever.
If you're Florida State and you lose, say, three games and you get invited to the Gator Bowl, you got to decline that, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure how it's all ranked.
Just out of principle, you can't be the Florida State Seminoles and be going to the Gator Bowl.
They may have played there before. I'm not sure.
No. All right. Noon Eastern.
Zeno's.
I say no. Meineke Car Care Bowl or Outback. I have now predicted like 17 different teams in the Outback Bowl. That's my go-to non-New Year's Six Bowl.
You love the Outback Bowl. We should go sometime. Let me put that on the bucket list. I mean, and we got to go before they change the name or it don't count.
The Outback will outlive us all, Dan.
I don't know, dude.
There'll be a nuclear holocaust, and it'll just be cockroaches eating blooming onions.
Oh, they're good at that. That's a good onion.
All right, UCF at Cincinnati. Nobody cares about this game, but you want to say a farewell for Mr. George O'Leary?
Yeah, he's been a shady cat for a while, making shit up on resumes. Like, you can do that when you're, like, 17.
Well, this was pre-LinkedIn, Dan.
Well, he's linked out, and that's what's important here. You know, I mean, it's not like, hey, I really want to wait tables, but they need experience, and I write down that I worked at Joe's Crab Shack for a summer. So,
come on, Dan. You haven't made up the college you went to on your resume before? Everybody's doing it.
No, man. I went to UConn. UConn's cool. Everyone knows that name. It's all about just name. It's so good, especially out here. Like, I can't be like, hey, I went to Quinnipiac, which is a better academic school. No one would be like, the fuck is that, on the Indian reservation or something? Which was possible.
It's funny you bring this up because, you know, I went to Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York, which is a very good school, a nice private Jesuit school. But when I would bring it up to people in Syracuse while I was going there, this is 2.5-3 hours away, like in the same state. Dan, what is it that everyone always said to me?
Marist? Where's that?
Oh, close. They say that. But then the other one I always got was, what's that, a junior college?
Oh, I forgot about that.
So if I just went to like Iowa or Illinois or UConn, Maryland, I would have been much better off in terms of interviewing.
University of Maine is a better school than like Providence College, like out here.
Providence is okay because you know where it is. You just have to know where the school is. That's what Amherst. It comes down to.
Amherst. No one knows where Amherst is out here. Not one person in Arizona knows. Like, I'm not joking. So if you wrote University of Maine, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I know where that is. That's up way up there. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm with you. You just have to, you got to get that name recognition. It's more important. That's what they don't tell you about the real world. When you graduate and you go to the job interview is not some dude from a small private school. It's just some guy from UConn. Oh, yeah. You're from UConn? Cool. Come on in.
Yeah.
So go to a big name school, everybody, drink for 4 years, and then enjoy the nepotism.
Never go to a school no one's ever heard of unless you plan on living right next to that school for your entire life.
All right. Illinois at Penn State, two schools with good name recognition. I don't know what's happening with Penn State and their injuries. If the two running backs are back, I like them to cover the 5.5 points, but I didn't have time to research it. I have no idea. Look up Saquon Barkley, and if he's back playing this week, take Penn State. If not, then stay away. Any thoughts?
None.
Okay. My computer's frozen, so I'm trying to get to the next game. Rutgers at Wisconsin. That should not have made the cut.
We'll cut it right now.
20.5. Don't bet on Rutgers. If you want to bet on Wisconsin, that's fine. I wouldn't recommend it, but don't bet on Rutgers the rest of the season. Colorado at UCLA. This one's all you, Dan.
UCLA is so up and down. Some photographs have emerged of Josh Rosen in his version of a hot tub in his dorm room. Now, people said, wait, how can you get a hot tub in a dorm room? Turns out, not a hot tub. It's a kiddie pool he bought at Walmart, filled up with hose water, or probably from the sink, probably in like a empty Taco Bell cup is what I'm guessing to transport. Anyway, the point is, with some chicks in bikinis, he's a superstar. Colorado sucks. Lay the 3 touchdowns.
You know what's funny? We always joke about, and the impression I always had when I was younger, is that these star college athletes get all this under-the-table money and all this illegal stuff. But the more of these things that come out, whether it's Reggie Bush or Josh Rosen or anything, even the star athletes, like their quote-unquote perks, are not really that great. Like, it's nothing compared to what I purchase for my normal life, just working a normal person's job. It's not like they're millionaire NFL players with private jets and real hot tubs. It's like the special privilege Josh Rosen gets is they let him put a kiddie pool in his room.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. It really is.
So maybe these athletes aren't getting as much under the table as I once suspected. Although that one guy from Oklahoma made like $1,000 an hour working at a car dealership. Remember him?
Well, working at a car dealership would suck, man. That'd be a horrible job. I think that's a fair rate.
Okay. Was that Josh Heupel or Josh White? I can't remember. They were, who? I think they were the same guy.
Jason White?
Oh, Jason White, whatever.
Jason Heupel?
Was
he's
it
the next year, Jason Heupel? You watch.
Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure that was just Sam Bradford playing for 12 years. Where's Heupel now? Nobody knows. Actually, I think he's a coach, so ignore everything I just said.
He's a senior in high school. He's ready to come back next year.
Or maybe White is the coach. I still am not clear on who is Jason White and who is Josh Heupel.
Small percentage of Oklahoma fans could tell you the difference. I never figured it out. It was a blur. Well, those years for me were a blur, but that would, you know, hey.
It's the football version of the Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton.
I can't. I'm all fucked up on that one. Your mind fucking me now. Move on to the next one.
We should note Dan's been up since 3:30 in the morning working the early shift, and I am on Paris time, which is about 3 a.m. right now. So if this podcast isn't making sense, that is why.
We're just trying to get it out there for the people.
All right, USC at Cal.
Weird line. Let's quickly talk about last week. USC opened as a 3-point favorite against undefeated Utah. They have no coach, 2 losses. Crowd doesn't like them. Line goes from 3 all the way to 7, and they blow out Utah. So there was some shady shit that went down there for sure.
Maybe Officer Clay Helton's just an awesome coach.
We'll find out this week. I see a letdown for USC. I'll take Cal in the 5.5 at home. I like an over of 68 for sure. I'm going to hook Cal in the over in this game.
I think Clay Helton should be the next coach of Miami. Holgorsen to USC.
Okay. I like that.
0% chance of that happening, but I like it.
Well, yes.
Oklahoma at Kansas, 39-point line. I don't know how Oklahoma's been the last couple weeks, but I feel like betting against Kansas, especially with these high-scoring Big 12 teams, is just free money this year.
Check the weather. If it's fine, lay a first half Oklahoma. Kansas is arguably the worst team in the country. Oklahoma scored 67-ish or something last week against Texas Tech. So I would bet Oklahoma first half all day.
All right, Dan, I know you've got something to say about this one. We've got Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Oklahoma State favored by 3. So Oklahoma State was your sleeper team of the year. Mm-hmm. You got to be feeling pretty good about that right now.
I am feeling pretty good at my 66-1 ticket. Oklahoma State's got 3 of their 4 games in November at home against the Big 3 in the conference. Or 2, I guess, plus 1 mystery team at this point, I guess. Or no, Oklahoma Baylor. Anyway, sorry.
All the big 12 teams played at the end. Whoever planned the Big 12 schedule, well done. You've put all the easier games in the beginning, and November is just going to be the most epic showdown of all time.
Exactly. But anyway, moral of the story is Oklahoma State has made it to this point. This is their last road test for a while. This is going to be a really hard game for them against a team that can score a lot of points. Now, here's the deal. Oklahoma State's defense it started the season good. It's been really leaky at the last 4 or 5 games. Texas Tech has the worst defense I've ever seen in all of sports history. Until further notice, you have to keep betting these overs. My over-under for this game, if I'm putting out a number, I'm not lying, is 93.5. If I was putting out a line for Las Vegas, they'd say, damn, what's the over-under of this game? I'd say 93.5. And I get laughed at. So I'm going to say over, and I'm going to say 94 points get scored.
All right. Florida at Georgia, the cocktail party. I keep promising my friend down there I'm going to go to this game.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep planning other things right around the same time. Maybe next year.
I love Florida in this game. It's only a field goal spread. Georgia has had a real issue scoring points since Chubbs went down. It's rigged. Florida looks like they have a little magic to them this year. They could be going for a BCS bowl on the side. Not on New Year's 4 probably, but possible, I guess, if they run the table. Anyway, I like Florida to win this game by at least a touchdown. I think this line's going to move up by kick.
I just like to point out, again, you've been up since 3:30, so we'll cut you slack, but you just called the New Year's Six by two different incorrect names in the same sentence.
Mm.
So congratulations.
I can make a third one up if you want.
Florida, I think people probably know this by the time they hear this, but Memphis's quarterback wanted to go to Florida, and Mr. Will Muschamp, our favorite coach of the last 5 years, did not recruit him heavily enough. So this guy who's tearing it up for Memphis, who's 6'7", could now be playing quarterback for Florida, and they could be pushing for that Final Four. But instead, you know, they'll end up losing to LSU or Alabama.
Yep.
And that's it. Congrats, Will Muschamp, even fucking the team from beyond the grave.
It's really unbelievable what a complete piece of trash he was. Is.
Still doing bad things over at Auburn. Remember the beginning of the season, Dan? Will Muschamp was supposed to ride in on his white horse and turn that Auburn defense around.
Apparently his horse was literally full of shit, and he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He's going to say, well, I'm going to need a year or two to get my players in there. So wait till 2017 when they're giving up 42 to A&M and he's getting fired. It's going to be great. But then he'll get recycled again somehow, because this is how the fucking system works. Drives me nuts.
What year will we see Will Muschamp head coach Eastern Michigan University?
2018. And he will play Frank Solich in the Little Caesars Bowl at the Carrier Dome.
That is going to happen. Well, if he coaches in the MAC, Muschamp Solich would be a yearly rivalry game.
Oh my God.
How long? Follow up question. Remember when the MAC was all like up and coming great coaches? How long until everything flips and the MAC is all coaches on the downslide?
I can't wait. That would be the best. Be like, big game this week. Rick Neuheisel checking in, squaring off against Jim Mora Jr. Like in a, here comes Sarkisian coming in against Lane Kiffin. Like, it'd be so fun. Thursday night back-to-back, Kiffin, Sarkisian.
It's going to be Tuesday night by that point.
Oh, yeah, Monday night, before the Monday night game.
And secondly, Dan, so we grew up liking 90s rock, as most listeners of this podcast will know. And we went to a lot of shows in our youth. And Syracuse had this place called the Lost Horizon. And every city's got one. Here in Hartford, it's the Webster Theater. But they all have this little 200-person standing room theater that used to be all these up-and-coming 90s band. You know, Buck Cherry would play there when they only had one hit. But now that modern rock is not really a thing, now they get all these bands on the downslide, like Whitesnake will be playing there at age 62. I think that might be the MAC. The MAC is the Lost Horizon of conferences. 2021, yeah. Solich, Kiffin, Muschamp, Strong, Sark,
Pasqualoni, Robinson.
Pasqualoni.
Edsel?
No. Edsel, yes. Pasqualoni, no. He's not getting in there. He'll be in the CFL if he's lucky.
Edson Robinson combo at Northern Illinois. Watch out.
No. Pasqualoni Robinson will be teamed up. Syracuse reuniting in the CFL. And when I see the CFL, I'm not talking Canadian Football League. I'm talking Croatian Football League.
Yeah. I think you're right.
All right. Did we do Maryland at Iowa yet? I can't remember.
No, but I like Iowa.
Iowa's pretty good, huh?
Maryland's a train wreck. No head coach. You said they're...
Right. Oh, right. Well, they do have an interim head coach who was the coach of New Mexico, I believe, or New Mexico State. Not that it matters, but he was something like 2-26 in his tenure. So it's all coming back to me now, Dan.
Of course he's a head coach. Why wouldn't he be a head coach? He was 2-26. Those are the kind of stats you need. The Buffalo Bills played a quarterback who won zero games in college. He was 0-13.
In fairness, he's interim because Randy Edsel was so bad he was fired. It's not his fault he suddenly became, you know, he is like Gerald Ford or like, you know, Andrew Jackson, like, or Andrew Johnson, I mean. It's like he's only there because the president was assassinated.
Oh, you're funny.
Clemson at the tricky NC State. This is a trap game for everyone in the ACC all the time.
Trap. I think we should play trap music from now on when there's a trap game. We should do a new segment called the Trap of the Week. And you'll just call a game out and I won't tell you and I'll start playing the trap beats.
I have to confess, I don't know what trap music is. I know there's a song called Trap Queen that's a big hit, but I don't know what it is.
We can play that shit right now. Fetty Wap. I'll play that. I'll pull that up.
All right. As I introduce the next game, you pull up Fetty Wap because I am sure I've probably heard it, but I have not heard it. I know the Nene, so I might know this one.
Know this.
Dan, while you're pulling that up, our favorite game of the year is this weekend. It is a 57.5-point over-under. It is an 11.5-point line. At 5 p.m. on Saturday, October 31st, the battle for Louisiana, UL Monroe, visits UL Lafayette. Our favorite game of the year. Who is your pick?
ULL is a superior team. I know we normally go with the other side on this, but I'm going to take UL. You know what? No, I got to go with taking the points in the rivalry. Give me the 11.5 with UL Monroe.
Always take the points in this game. Is it fair ranking Louisiana teams? Would you agree? You've got LSU, followed by La Tech, followed by UL Lafayette, followed by UL Monroe, followed by Tulane. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's very fair.
All right, that's my Louisiana State power ranking. Oregon State at Utah. Utah, 24-point favorite. I don't know what's going on with Utah. I guess they got blown out by USC. They dropped from, 3 to, 13 in the poll. I think that the voters of the poll were sort of waiting for this game, and everyone sort of said, oh, there it is. Utah's not that good. But Utah's still pretty decent, right? Or am I wrong?
Utah is very decent, and Oregon State is fucking trash. They should come back and smash these clowns. Lay the 23.5. I feel good about it.
Texas at Iowa State. Any Charlie Strong developments in the last 2 weeks?
No. It's looking like he's going to keep his job. You never know. Iowa State is not good, but they're not as bad as everyone thinks. That's why this line's only 6.5. This one's a stay away.
Vanderbilt at Houston. Houston undefeated. Tom Herman doing so well. He's now a candidate for Miami's job. 12-point or 11.5-point line. What do you think?
I think Houston is underrated and they are going to smash this squad. I think I'm going to lay the points with Houston. They're going to whip this SEC school in which they didn't schedule them.
I think this line is probably flawed because Vanderbilt's the big SEC team and Houston is still looked at by America as this little school, formerly of the AAC or currently of the AAC. I don't even know anymore. So I think this line in actuality, if I'm setting it, should be about 20.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Michigan at Minnesota. Michigan minus 14.
Well, you know, see, here's the thing about this game. Hey, what's up, hello? Sit your pretty ass soon as you came in
the door. I just wanted to go to Psycho Astor. Is this Trap Queen?
Oh, yeah. It's about meeting a girl who knows how to cook crap. You know, you got to know this.
I don't think I've ever heard this before.
This is hit.
Yeah, but I remember, Dan. Sorry.
Oh, it's about to kick in. We got to hear the drop.
All right, let's wait for it, and then I'll tell my story.
Oh, there it is. There's Trap right there. It's that, rotation. Anyway, this is the Trap of the Week, folks. This is the game Michigan might lose. This is Minnesota's Super Bowl. They were kind of, before the season, a lot of people liked Minnesota. And, they kind of fell off a little bit. But this is their largest game of the year. I think Michigan might overlook this one. I like Minnesota plus the points.
All right. I have no comment on the game. On the song, however, First off, let me say I have never heard that song in my life.
That's so a good thing.
I thought when, you know, Trap Queen, I keep hearing the name, I see it on Twitter. I thought it was going to be one of those songs that I know, but I just don't know who it's by. Like that, I Can't Feel My Face, But I Love It.
Weekend. The,
oh, is that The Weekend?
Yeah, that's Weekend. Dude, this is what you get working in a restaurant. There's always someone cooking some shit in the far back with the prep radio on. And they're, and as you know, it's like 93Q. They only play like 15 songs. I hear the same song every single day. I hear that. I hear The Weeknd. There you go. Hits.
See, I've heard of most of these artists' names, and I've also heard most of the songs, but I can't connect them. It's like this weird game of, what's that game where you pick up the cards and try to match them? That like memory game?
Yeah.
I'm trying to connect artists with songs that I know. But I have never heard that song before. It sounds terrible, I have to say. And you criticizing me for not knowing it, it reminds me of about 10 years ago when I was working with our friend Jeremy at Undercutters Landscaping, a company that we made up. And every single day we were just out listening to classic rock radio while, you know, doing somebody's yard. So I was not connected with pop culture at all. I think it was maybe 2002, 2003. And there was a song by a guy named Afro Man. It was a huge hit. You might know it, Because I Got High is the name. And I think it was you or George or one of our other friends. We were in a, you know, a car at the end of the summer and that song came on. I was like, what is this horrible song? And people are like, Z, how do you not know this? This is one of the biggest hits of the summer. And so I just stopped. I go, is it good? And you go, well, no. I'm like, well, who gives a fuck then?
Yeah,
that's how I feel about that Trap Queen song.
There you go.
I avoided it for the last 3 months. I finally heard it. It's not good at all. Let's move on to the next one.
Hotline Bling coming next week. We're playing that.
Mark, I don't know what that is either. That's a name I've just heard recently.
Do your research in the next week. Unwind from Paris. You'll see all the parodies online. Next week, you'll be all about it going, all right, Dan, that was genius. Trust me.
All right. Or we could just play a new game where once a week you play a pop song from the restaurant and I have to give my, a song that everyone in America knows except for me, and I'll give my hot take on it.
That's a great idea.
I do like that Jason Derulo. I'll give you that.
See, I don't know who the fuck that is, so.
Okay. Tennessee at Kentucky. Fuck that. We'll skip that. Let's get back to the College Game Day game of the week at the end. Two games out west, Dan, up to you. Stanford, the red hot Stanford Cardinal at the red hot Washington State. Stanford, a 12-point favorite.
Stanford's really good. Interesting thing I found out about them. This is Harbaugh's senior recruiting class or something like that. Like, this is their super offensive line class that came in, along with Andreas Pete, who left last year to go to the pros early. They're just fucking killing people off the ball. And if you don't have a bunch of big D linemen, Stanford's going to blast you like they did a couple years ago with Toby Gerhardt and shit. Stanford's good. Until further notice, roll with them. I don't know what happened week one at Northwestern, but since then, they're a top five teams since week one, which is crazy.
Well, Northwestern was good for a little while. I don't know what they've been doing recently. It seems like they've tailed off, but Northwestern's not a total joke. I mean, that's a, if you're on the committee and Stanford finishes the season with one loss and it's to Northwestern, I think you have to look at that as a pretty solid resume. Washington State, meanwhile, I think they're 5-2, if I saw that correctly, which is one of the things that really surprised me being out of it for 2 weeks, because last I really remember of Washington State was them losing to Portland State, I believe it was, and me pretty much writing them off and just waiting for Mike Leach to be fired. So is it time for a Mike Leach hot seat check-in?
No, not yet. We're going to hold off on Mike Leach.
Seems like his seat is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's ice cool. So, you know, we're not even going to talk about Mike Leach because he's finally got everything mapped out. He's feeling pretty good. He beat Oregon. It's great.
Yeah, good job, Mike Leach.
Good football coach. Questionable people person.
His people skills could use some work.
He shouldn't work in HR.
I think he's a conspiracy theorist. I'm not sure about that, but I've seen some interesting comments from him online.
Well, isn't that lovely?
Yeah. Well, it's like I've always said about Mike Leach. He's got a high-powered offense, and also 9/11 was an inside job.
Yep, everyone knows both are true.
Arizona, the other Arizona team, travels to Washington. I don't see a line on this game, Dan. Is there a reason for that?
Injuries or something. We'll just pass on this one.
Okay, then let's get to the game of the week. College Game Day live from Philadelphia, Notre Dame at Temple.
That's right, folks. College Game Day in consecutive weeks has been at James Madison and Temple. Whoever's doing the scheduling needs to get their shit together. This is unacceptable. Game Day should be at the best location. You're at Temple. Yay, you're on Broad Street. You're going to want to do a couple things. If you're going to Game Day this week, here's a couple free tips from Dan. First one, don't make eye contact with anyone. No one at any time. Don't even think about it. If you go order a sandwich at Subway, you look at your feet while you order that 6-inch on multigrain. Two, you should not go to this. You should just stay home. There's no reason to go there whatsoever. It's trouble. No, seriously, good for Temple. It's, you know. It's
wait. You forgot number three, which is your text message to me earlier today. Was it pack your jersey and your bulletproof vest?
Yeah, yes. Those are options as well. Yeah, you can also score crack there. It's a lovely spot.
So clearly what happened is they looked at the schedule. They saw it was a pretty weak lineup of games. And they said, this is going to be the only chance we ever have to go to Temple. So let's just do this, give it to the fans, and then we'll never go back. It's sort of like what they did with North Dakota State last year. They're just like, fuck it. We'll go to Fargo. There's nothing else going on this week. Let them have one.
Yeah, you're completely right.
Great university, though. I hear Bill Cosby's going to be the guest picker of games.
Nailed it. Pudding. biggest game in Temple history, or whatever, in our life. Probably in like 1938 they played Army or some shit. But anyway, the point is, the first time in a long time they've had a huge game. Take Temple in the points. Hope for some weird fumbles and stuff. Keep it close. I'd love to see Notre Dame choke a game away like this, so why not? Go Owls.
Temple's good this year. Wow. I'm not willing to pick them outright, but I think they could cover. That's it.
We'll see.
That's the kind of insight you get from me when I'm on European time and I haven't watched games in 2 weeks.
That's okay. You're all right. We'll be back next week with Hotline Bling, for sure.
Yeah.
And in the trap of the week.
We're not leaving just yet, Danny, because you haven't done your famous Dan Partridge 4-team 13-point tees of the week.
I'm ready to get on a winning streak. We're not going to talk about the past. You went to Europe. I feel like it's a new season. I'm locked in.
I owe you an apology because I picked Boise State as my lock of the week. And not only did they not cover, they lost by like 14 points.
Thanks. No, by like 20. Like it was 28. It was bad. But that's okay. We're going to come back this week with a winner. Here we go. First one. We're going to start it off Thursday night. TCU -1 home against West Virginia.
Good. I like it.
That should be a nice, safe play. Pick two. I'm going to take Florida +10. At the big cocktail party.
Okay, yeah, that's an important game. They should be able to keep it close. Those SEC games are always very competitive. I like it.
Okay. Well, then we're going to just keep on cruising here. We're going to take Stanford +1 at Washington State. You feel like that's going to lose somehow, don't you?
Mike Leach. I'm just saying, on a normal week, if it was Stanford +1, I would say, all right, sounds really good against Washington State. But knowing that you always lose these 4-team teasers, one of them's got to lose. I think that's troublesome.
I might have another loser for you. Are you ready to cap it off?
Yep.
We're going to take Arizona State +10.5 home against Oregon. So Arizona State and TCU early in the week, on both on Thursday, just to peel the Band-Aid off fast. And then we can get to the weekend where we can get our hearts ripped out by an outright loss by Stanford.
I'm picking a Mike Leach upset now.
Please bet the money line and send all photographs of your slips to dpartridge10 on Twitter, or take the points at Twitter or LinkedIn. We'll link first, then send it. You know, that's always an option.
You know, I always tell people the caveat, or not the caveat, what's the, you know, the warning, not to, disclaimer, that's the word I'm looking for, the disclaimer, to listen to this for entertainment value, and that don't to take our picks too seriously. If you hear something you like and you've thought about it and you decided also you want to make that bet, that's good, but don't solely rely on us. But now I think it's safe to say, if you want to bet against Dan's four-team teasers, you will have a 100% success rate this season.
Yeah, but the hard part's picking which game I'm going to really screw up. So
if you just bet them all.
Something's coming in.
Actually, you're 3-1, I think, every single week, so that's not a good strategy.
I really finally feel good. I felt good before. Let's just hope I don't get fucked over. Let's just say the truth.
All right, Dan, last thing before we leave. Your song of the week to add to the Take the Points playlist for this week. Last week we had nothing, but the week before, Space Lord by Monster Magnet.
Yeah, that got played.
You want to stick with the early 90s theme, or you want to go in a different direction?
We're going to move it all the way around. We're going to go Evil Friends by Portugal the Man.
All right. Another song I've never heard of. I'm really out of it. I don't know what's happened. I don't have kids or anything. Usually it's kids. You know, you have a kid and then you don't have time to pay attention to music. But I feel like I've embraced that dad quality of knowing nothing without having the actual kid.
I love it.
Dan, any comments on the list of Jock Jams rankings from Vice?
I may have inspected the track listing at work today with a couple people who are exactly our age. First of all, okay, folks, we're going to go on a brief 2-3 minute rant. If you don't want to listen to this.
Before we do, for people who don't know, there's an article on Vice, or on Noisy, which is the Vice music blog, that ranked all of the Jock Jams of all time, like all 5 albums worth of Jock Jams.
Yeah.
I won't spoil the results, because I feel like you're going to mention some of them in your rant. So everybody go ahead and read that. But first, listen to Dan's words of wisdom, because nobody is more prepared to talk about Jock Jams than this podcast right here.
No, okay. I got a lot to say here, people. So listen up. First off, hats off to the guy who wrote the article, just giving a little intro on it. He said, if you aren't from an era where you wore what are those pants? Skids pants, and had hockey cards that were useless, like Upper Deck or something like that, then this article's not for you. But anyway, Jock Jams, Brian Keita, one of our friends, he wasn't really into music. His CD collection was basically the Jock Jams catalog, because he played basketball, which is just hilarious for on so many levels. So anyway, let me talk to you about the Jock Jams series. There's 4 of them, technically a fifth. The fifth is a best of compilation, but any true music fan knows you don't count compilations. So you got 4 volumes of Jock Jams, starting in 95, spreading out to 2001. The first one's got all the hits. That's got your Whoomp, There It Is. It's got your... Oh my God! Come on, Tom. Give me some of these real quick.
I'm actually trying to look them up right now, but on Spotify, it's just Jock Jams Volume 1-5. It doesn't specify what's on what. So you've got your Get Ready for This, which many of you know is the
Get Ready for This.
Y'all ready for this? Dun, 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 yes. Dun. And then you've got the Tootsie Roll.
I got it. Yes.
You've got a Hip Hop Hooray. Mm-hmm. You've got Unbelievable by EMF. You've got one that I think is severely underrated, which is Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic.
Yes.
You've got the Venga Boys, of course. Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It. The I Like to Move It, Move It. Boom, Boom, Boom is a good one. Ready to Go by Republica.
Republica, great reference.
Da Dip by Freak Nasty. How lame do I sound saying
that's going to be the trap of the week next week. Da Dip is coming out.
And then you've got my favorite, the official theme song of Marist College, Let Me Clear My Throat by DJ Kool.
Yeah, so those were all hits, kind of spread out amongst the series.
And Cotton Eye Joe, of course.
That, of course, came late and still is played at hockey games only, I believe. Anyway, the first one's got all your hits. Get Ready for This, Whoop, There It Is, Tootsie Roll, Rob Bass, It Takes Two, Pump Up the Volume, Unbelievable, YMCA, Pump Up the Jam, Hey. And then from there, it gets kind of weird. After they kind of lose the hits that are jock jams, it gets a little strange to where the point where Jock Jams Volume 4, I'm going to list off some of these tracks that have nothing to do with sports whatsoever, that have nothing to do with it. Track 1 is a audio sample from Austin Powers of him going, yeah, baby. That's not a jock jam.
Then that's like a radio station drop.
Then we got Mo Money, Mo Problems. That was not a sports song. That was a hip-hop song.
That's like the biggest hip-hop song of the 90s. That's no jock jam.
Okay, moving on. Will Smith, Getting Jiggy With It, which I think is the new slogan of my company, but I'm not sure exactly yet. We got business cards coming. That's a whole other story. But anyway.
I'm gonna need a follow-up update on that in coming weeks, Dan, because I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds amazing.
Okay, Will Smith, Getting Jiggy With It. Moving on, Backstreet Boys, Everybody Backstreet's Back. Not a jock jam. Just a flat-out pop song.
Are there any jocks who like the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, secretly, I'm sure. And to cap it off, the last track on Jock Jams Volume 4, who just retired after 21 years of music, which is mind-boggling to me, Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping. Not a jock jam. Not whatsoever. So I kind of found it funny how the progression of this went from actual songs you still hear to just random pop songs. So it got kind of weird, but I think they should bring it back and bring some like real hard hits on there. Stuff that like the players listen to before the game. So I don't know. We'll see.
Would you say that's Jock Jam's like weird electronic period? Like when Smashing Pumpkins released A Door?
Similar, but a little bit more out there.
Yeah, well, number one was always great. I'm into early jock jams, Dan. I thought they got derivative in the later years.
Yeah, I think early jock jams was more focused, and then they were more like spread out on side projects. So the recordings of Jock Jams 3 and 4 were spread out over multiple cities, so you didn't get the full, you know, cohesive band effort.
Well, by then, the jock jammers were traveling on separate tour buses. Uh-huh. So they didn't have that downtime to really connect and write, and just that time to be creative and think of new jock jams. The success went to their head.
I heard that. And I don't know if you heard this, but, you know, by the time Jock Jams 3 rolled out, Republica was not even speaking with rednecks because they were battling over who had the more white boy hit between Ready to Go or Cotton Eye Joe. Which we all ultimately know rednecks won, but that's the real argument that split up Cotton Eye Joe. Neither rednecks nor Republica made Jock Jams 4. It's kind of like the final Led Zeppelin album. You don't really count it. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I heard there was some secret love affairs. It was a real Fleetwood Mac situation with the Jock Jammers.
Mm-hmm.
It tore them apart. That's why they'll never talk about who Whoop There It is about, but we all know who it's about, Dan.
Oh, yes, we do.
All right, well, rest in peace, Jock Jams. There will be a Jock Jams Netflix reboot at some point, I'm sure. A prequel to Jock Jams?
Oh, that would be absolutely genius.
What songs would go on your Jock Jams 2015? Trap Queen?
Trap Queen's got to lead it off.
Some Jason Derulo?
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but I'm going to trust you. I don't know. It'd be pretty funny.
The I Can't Feel My Face, But I Love It has to be on there. That's a jock jam for sure.
Course, Weekend for sure. All the Weekend hits.
Skrillex.
Yeah, he might show up.
He's got to be it. Skrillex would definitely be on a jock jam. He might be Mr. Jock Jam.
Couple Kanye tracks.
I think we could get this going, Dan. Let's make some calls. Jock Jams 2015.
I'm in.
All right. You want to give some social media plugs before we go?
Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace. Tom's married. Don't tell Mrs. Tom, but he's on Farmers Only. He's got a tattoo on his face that looks different.
Hey Dan, you don't have to be lonely with farmersonly.com.
Thank you. That's fantastic.
Swipe right on Tinder for Dan.
Yes, I'm in multiple categories. My profile, I'm open to a lot of different people and a lot of different things. So you're probably going to see me on Tinder. I put my mile radius on 1500. I mean, I'm not that clingy, but just saying, find me. I'll be out there. I'm up 24/7.
Yep, connect with Dan on Ashley Madison. He's
Yep.
still on there. He's a believer in the product. You know, Dan, now's the best time to be on there because what are the odds they're going to hack it again?
It's a valid point. And, I really can't talk about Ashley Madison. My lawyer advised me not to speak on it until all matters were handled. There's no reason to talk to you. You aren't my judge.
All right, I've got a real one actually. So nobody's going to take it seriously at this point, but I do have a real recommendation. Take the Points podcast, Dan, now on Stitcher.
On what?
Stitcher.
What's that? What's that?
Stitcher is like a iTunes competitor.
Oh,
It's like another way to listen to podcasts online and on your phone.
I love it. Stitcher. I'm in. I'll inspect that during this week. You look at Hotline Bling. I'll focus on Stitcher, and then we'll come together next week.
Okay, so that's real, just in case people are confused. You go to Stitcher. If you prefer listening to podcasts on Stitcher, we're now on Stitcher. Took forever, but we got on there. Or you can listen on iTunes, or you can listen on takethepoints.net. Or if you find Dan on Tinder,
Yeah.
go meet him at the bar, and he'll play it over his phone face to face.
That's correct.
People don't get that face-to-face podcast interaction like they used to in the old days.
Like I said, just swipe right and I'll be there.
That'll be your date. Dan will take you out. You'll listen to the podcast over dinner, and then you'll go to a live performance of Jock Jams.
Jock Jams is playing a small intimate club tour, so we're gonna check that out. And speaking of podcasts, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good night. I'm going to play a little Jock Jam to lead us out. Take care, everyone. We'll see you next week. Do you have anything else to say, Z?
Nope.
Hit Yeah, the dip. Drop it. Take care, everyone. Have a good night. Thanks for listening.
Take the point. 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 Take the point.